Joining us now from the UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, sports analytics expert and sports expert in general, Dr. Deb Stroman. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It certainly has been a wild, wild weekend for sports. I think for the typical sports fan, this was one of those signature weekends with the basketball, men's basketball, getting in that spirit of rivalry, and certainly all the games, all the competitions that are happening here with Chapel Hill.
And really, we were talking about this before I came on the air earlier today. We were talking about this back in the newsroom. Saturday was just such a weird day because this is UNC basketball, number one in the nation. They had this really tough game on the road against a really difficult opponent in Northern Iowa, and they came up short. But it's so weird in what is typically considered to be a basketball town at the basketball school. Everyone's attention was on the football game.
Well, I think when we have a tradition of good football program, but not a great football program, when you have the opportunity to really right the ship and make a run for national attention, we're talking college football playoff, which means millions upon millions of dollars and the national media spotlight, and North Carolina is now being talked about, as in if we can get to the Charlotte game against Clemson, which we did, which we're scheduled to be in, and now to have the opportunity to win that game and possibly be in Arizona, definitely this entire community is just buzzed. In fact, I'll even say the entire state. We have so much to be happy for. Certainly Coach Fedora, a lot of people were naysayers saying that he hadn't won anything yet. His salary, you know, a little bit over $1.6 million. Certainly, when you think about the big powerhouse programs, his salary is rather small in comparison to them. But for North Carolina, that's a lot of money to give a football coach. And so for him to get us on track and certainly being in the conversation, it's a big, big thing.
And a big turnaround for the defense, too. Gene Chizik obviously making a huge difference. I'll still take full credit for this success because I wore that cursed Carolina shirt for the South Carolina game. I haven't touched it since. They haven't lost yet. So,
Not even touch it. Let's burn it.
Just do horrible things to it because there's nothing good about that shirt. But again, we're speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman. And you mentioned the college football playoff, which Carolina still ranked number 11 in the AP and the coaches poll, so they've still got a ways to go there before they start getting into the top six, top five, top four. They've been ranked a little bit further back in the CFP rankings, which haven't come out this week. Obviously, Carolina will move up a little bit, but what are the odds of, obviously, they've got to win out, they've got to beat Clemson, but they're also going to need some help, I assume, in order to actually get above those teams in front of them and make it to the Final Four. So what needs to happen?
And that certainly is true. But the nice thing is that this is the weekend coming up, Thanksgiving, where you have a lot of these rivalry games.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would expect for the power teams who've been playing well all season just to coast into the rival game and win. No, we have to throw that out. Now you have programs who say, you know what, I'm going to upset you. I'm going to be the difference between you're going to the playoffs or not. And so the young men all across the country are thinking about, here's our time to get some spotlight because we're going to take something away from a program that's supposed to be there. So everyone's going to be glued to their television sets watching the games on Friday and Saturday to see who will actually, you know, come through this amazingly competitive weekend of football. Now, we have a situation. We have NC State. So we're definitely set to be in Charlotte against Clemson.
Yep.
Do we take out our starters after the first half? Do we really want to go and beat North Carolina State because that is such a big rival of ours? It's going to be interesting to see how the coaches decide to compete. You don't want to get blown out by NC State or possibly even lose because then it could affect our rankings. So I expect Coach Fedora to go ahead and play full speed ahead, all starters play for as long as possible.
And especially with, I mean, not even just the college football playoffs still sort of hanging out there in the distance as a possibility, but also really depending on how the NC State game goes and how the Clemson game goes the following week, you might end up being in a really, really significant bowl game this year, even if we don't make it to the Final Four. There's still, you know, the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl to talk about. So somewhere in there.
That's right. And so I would expect that Marquise Williams and The team, all the leaders will rally and say, we still have more to play for. Just because we get the chance to play against Clemson, the Atlantic winner, we still want to play well. And I know, considering that a lot of the guys, they know each other, they played against each other in high school, that I believe that Carolina is going to want to make a big statement against NC State.
It is going to be a big, big game for a whole bunch of reasons. We're speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman again, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School. And in addition to the rivalry, the intensity, the possibility of going to a big bowl game, the bragging rights and everything else, and we've talked about this a whole bunch of times here on the air, it's also, there's also a lot of money at stake for Carolina and for the other schools that are competing for that, for those exact same positions in the exact same bowl games. And that is putting a lot of pressure on not just the players, but also the coaches. Larry Fedora is, you know, everyone's high on Larry Fedora right now, but there are a lot of other coaches out there, some of them surprises, who are really on the hot seat. And the big one, and I know we were talking about this earlier today, is Les Miles of LSU, Louisiana State, who was just the coach just a couple of years ago, and now it looks like he's on the way out, and his team is 7-3.
Well, absolutely. This is a big story. When you think about Miles and what he has done for LSU, he's never had a season worse than 8-5, and he's won 10 or more games 7 times. But the big, big difficulty for Coach Miles is that he continues to lose to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And then the former LSU coach, Nick Saban, who's running things at Alabama, has the streak is now 5 games. And so when I think about what's going on in terms of big-time football and what we have at Chapel Hill, would we remove a football coach if they got 7 wins a year, 8 wins a year, or 9 wins a year? What would it take? But certainly the pressures are on these football coaches. I don't know if it's fair. Some people would argue making the most money of any employee in a particular state, whether or not that pressure is justified. You think about the way football has been struggling with attendance. North Carolina, we're one of the schools that's been listed as having a major decrease. When we think about the Power 5 conferences, North Carolina attendance is down almost 20-some-odd percent. And even though you have a winning program, and again, it's just not UNC, but even though you have a winning program, people are really torn between the ticket prices and how easy it is to stay home and watch on their high-definition televisions. So you have that pressure to not only to win, but can you sell seats and will people come out to the stadium?
And that pressure is that much higher when you got a program like an LSU or I think Alabama, kind of the same thing, or Florida State, or maybe even, I guess, Virginia Tech has been immune with Frank Beamer, but maybe Virginia Tech now with Frank Beamer leaving and someone new coming in, where you've got that expectation every single year. You saw with Mack Brown at Texas, the expectation every single year that you're going to be in the top 5, in the top 10, competing for a national championship. UNC's got a great program this year, but I think UNC fans right now are just thrilled that we're in the running for a spot in the top 10 and maybe a major bowl game. You got a school like LSU, if you lose a couple of games and you're not in the top 5, top 10 with a chance to go to the CFP at the end of the season, you have failed, and there is that much additional pressure that that really changes the nature of a football program when you get up to that level.
Well, absolutely. In October, the latest stats show that across all of the football bowl schools were only averaging about 45,000 people,
mm-hmm.
and that is pretty low. And again, it supports the trend that's been happening. Now, we had a slight increase at the beginning of this season, but, you know, schools like Michigan, Ohio State, Texas A&M, or even LSU, they've got stadiums that hold over 100,000 people. And how do you convince them to come out to the ball game? And then how do you convince them to not only come out to the ball game, but to also take interest in your program, and so that you're not only watching the game, but are you purchasing the various items, the concessions, the parking, all of those things? That's what athletic administrators have to be mindful of. North Carolina, so our stadium is about 63,000, 65,000. You know, having 45,000 people come out or 50,000, that's not enough. That's not going to pay the bills here at Chapel Hill. So, you know, bright minds have to sit down, have to be creative, have to be innovative as to how we can have football, especially at this level at our universities, but not have it such that it puts pressures on other aspects of the university.
We're speaking again with Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, and it's going to be a very big weekend for college football, not just here in the Triangle, but all over. Before we let you go, though, there's one other big issue that we've been talking about on the air for the last couple of weeks, and it's one that really came to the forefront, I think even more so in Chapel Hill than it already was, and that's the issue of race on campus, particularly as it relates to its connection to sports and sports teams and their power to influence that debate. We were talking about it before in the context of the University of Missouri and what happened there, but just in the last couple of weeks, we've seen a lot more of this conversation on campus here in Chapel Hill with the student takeover of the town hall meeting a little while ago, and now the DTH article, is it from today that there is now a something called the White Student Union that is that's formed on Facebook?
Yes, this is definitely a spark in time. I think it's something where we're going to look back one day and remember this time period. Mm-hmm. But the nation is really, really engaged in conversations around race, racial identity, and who we are as a country. And it goes without saying that that, of course, will end up on college campuses, that conversation. This is the place where these things get thought about, talked about, examined. And when I look at the area of sport and how oftentimes we're a mirror of society, and in this matter, I would hope that we could be the lead. I think there are a number of lessons that we can take from athletics in this current race relations movement. I've noted a few things. Number one, communication. We look at how coaches have to be clear, and they have to speak to their captains or their influencers, who then can, in turn, influence the players to get things done. So we have to have better communication all across our campus. Number two, I would say examining the opposing strategy. There's a reason why coaches have scouts. There's a reason why coaches will spend time in looking at the other team's film. It's not necessarily to offset what you're doing, because I believe your execution is most important. But you scout because you want to look at trends and tendencies, and oftentimes to see, is there a better way? So when we talk about race relations, we have to be willing to sit down and talk to those who might have a different point of view. Third, I would say consistent message. Our football team is known as fast, smart, and physical. Our basketball team, we like to run. Well, what is the consistent message? What does America stand for? What does UNC stand for in this space? We have to identify our core values around race relations and lead with that. Fourthly, I'll say built to last. We have to trust the process and stay the course. You don't let one loss. You don't let a particular player like Marcus Page, he's out. You don't let that deflect or take away from all that you've built and who you stand for. You continue to go forward. And lastly, I'll say empower your playmakers. Oftentimes in sport, you just have to give the ball to the best player and get out of the way or have people do their jobs. And so I'll ask UNC, I ask America, who are our playmakers in this space? Who has tradition? Who has the ability traditionally to get the job done? We want to hear from those people. We want them to have their voice heard. And certainly we have to respect all that they bring to the table so that we can move positive in a way that we can heal the campus and certainly heal America.
And I'll add one more onto that. You mentioned having a consistent message, but also acting on it too. It's not enough for UNC to say we're fast, smart, and physical. You actually have to go out onto the field and be fast, smart, and physical in order to succeed, and kind of the same thing here.
Absolutely. I think there's been a lot of talk, and we will certainly have to have more talk and more dialogue, but the most important thing is that we need action. We want everybody to feel that they are welcome, they are respected, they are included, and we are a community for the people. I mean, that is our mantra. That is what we say, that we value everyone, and we want to make sure that we are doing that not only in talk but also in action.
Well, Dr. Deb Stroman is with the UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, and we've got to let you go, but thanks again, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.